Hello, everybody. Dylan Hales back again with another WrestleMania weekend independent wrestling themed pod blast here at the Place to Be Nation. Thanks, everybody, for listening to these. These have been really fun to do. Been trying to keep them as bite-sized as possible. So I'm going to get right into it again. This time we're covering Evolve 103, the late afternoon, early evening show from Evolve at the Pontchartrain, I believe at the Pontchartrain Event Center is the name of the venue. Evolve 103 on paper did not look to be as interesting as Evolve 102 to me, to be frank, coming in. Then they had some unfortunate last second changes due to injuries at the Progress show, which took place earlier in the day at the same building. Darby Allin, who was supposed to compete against Walter, was taken off the event. I believe Chris Dickinson was originally scheduled to wrestle Travis Banks. That ended up being Chris Dickinson versus Mark Haskins. So there were some very last-minute adjustments for Evolve on that front. In the case of the Walter match, it really did change things quite a bit, as Walter went from wrestling Darby Allin to Tracy Williams, which stylistically is a totally different sort of matchup. It's not really even comparable in terms of how those two people wrestle. I'll get into my overall thoughts at the end. We'll go here from the very top. Austin Theory versus Keith Lee. This was effectively a title unification match, although I don't know that they're using unification verbiage. Austin Theory came into this match the FIP, Full Impact Pro Champion, which is a promotion also under the WWN umbrella that for a while was running a lot. Now they're not running as much. And they've kept the title alive for reasons I don't fully understand, but perhaps we're going to get a unification here, as that he was challenging Keith Lee, the WWN champion. And this was the opener, and we were guaranteed to get a title switch one way or the other, unless there was a, you know, schmoz or screwy finish. And we got a title switch. And, you know, depending on how you look at it, it may be seen as a surprise, but Austin Theory is now the WWN champion as well as the FIP champion. The match itself, I thought, was solid. I didn't think it was especially great. The crowd did seem to get increasingly into it down the stretch. A lot of people there seem to be really into Keith Lee, which isn't a surprise. Austin Theory, you know, to me, he's sort of the Jay White or the Switchblade of the Evolve universe. He's clearly a guy with a lot of potential and with a great look, and he's extremely young. He's only going to get better. But he just doesn't click for me, and I don't think he clicks for a lot of the audience. I didn't get the feeling that they were super into this, and not even in the he's a bad guy, so we're going to boo him way. I thought when he won the title, it felt sort of flat. I'm of the opinion that both of these guys are probably going to be in the WWE sooner rather than later. I'm not even sure that Keith Lee will be there all that much sooner than Austin Theory, although with him losing this championship, it does seem like his track to Full Sail maybe a little bit faster, or to the Performance Center, rather. Match was fine. Some impressive stuff in this. Austin Theory was able to do some impressive power moves to Keith Lee, and there were some decent moments. He got a low blow on Keith Lee before the finish, so it was sort of cheap a little bit. They did protect Keith Lee a little bit in defeat. Match was okay. Certainly not bad, not great. Next up, Timothy Thatcher versus Dominic Greeny. This match, oddly enough, was worked in a fashion that was kind of what I expected the Bloodsport events to be matches to be worked on yesterday. More of a probably the most shoot stylish match in some ways of anything that we saw on that this whole weekend, including anything on that show. Very brief, which I did not have much of a problem with, as Dom is still trying to establish himself in the Evolve universe. Thatcher, of course, is an established guy, longest reigning champion in Evolve history. It stands to reason that he would have a pretty decisive victory. Dom did get in a little bit here and there. I really enjoyed this. I do believe that this probably may have been intended to go a little bit longer. Thatcher was bleeding from the mouth. Same thing happened in his match with Tony Storm last night at Beyond's Lit Up. And, you know, the finish came immediately after in both cases. My guess is this could be something with Louisiana State Athletic Commission, where if you're bleeding, particularly from the face, it may be a directive that that's it. So they went home, and Thatcher got the win. Next up was AR Fox versus DJZ versus Kincaid versus Chris Brooks. freestyle four-way action. This was fine. There, you know, I kind of joked on Twitter, there were three guys that I liked in this, and then Chris Brooks. You know, I don't have any animus toward him. He kind of seems like one of those really nice guys that is a pretty good athlete and is smart about getting himself out there and willing to travel and willing to work hard to make things work for himself as a wrestler. But he's just nowhere near at the level of the guys that were in this match, and particularly at the style they were doing. You know, almost immediately he bumped into the referee. His first few exchanges did not look very good. From there, it got a little bit better, but he still stuck out like a sore thumb to me in this matchup. Kincaid's new look is totally insane and awesome. Be interesting to see what they do with him going forward. AR Fox got the win here. I have to say, I was hoping that this would sort of be a weekend where DJZ broke out, getting this big opportunity WrestleMania weekend on these Evolve shows. He really hasn't up until this point. He did do a crazy sort of 450 variation in this match by springboarding off the back of someone who was on the shoulders of somebody else. Other than that, there was no single spot or moment that really jumped off the page in this one, which you would kind of hope that would be the case here. I really wish Chris Brooks' spot had been given to Anthony Henry or James Drake, who were in the building, and I think probably would have been a better stylistic fit. That's not a knock on Chris Brooks. It's just my perception. Plus, they're Evolve regulars. But it is what it is. Match was okay. Didn't grab me. Next up, Chris Dickinson versus Mark Haskins. I actually thought this was pretty decent, but it's another one that really didn't have a hook. Dickinson has been doing the sort of loose cannon, kind of quasi-loose cannon gimmick across multiple promotions. I was expecting a little bit more of an edge than what we got from him. He did batter Haskins around on the floor some. Haskins appeared to be bleeding from the arm, and for a brief second, I was afraid they were going to go to a really early stoppage in this, which they didn't, thankfully. Some good back and forth down the stretch. Some good exchanges, sort of dueling leg work. Dickinson ended up winning with a looked like a knee bar variation or something of that sort from a ground position. Match was solid. Certainly was not bad. You know, but this is the kind of match where you almost feel bad for the competitors, because if it was a louder and more enthusiastic crowd, a crowd that was sort of bigger, because there were not very many people there. You know, my guess is 350 to 400. Maybe a little bit more, but this was another show where Evolve, it looked like the walk-up just wasn't there. Looked like basically what they did in pre-sale, which I believe was around 350, was probably close to what the actual number was, at least in terms of people in the building. It was running head-to-head against Revolution Pro, which by all accounts had a turnaway crowd at the Sugar Mill. Huge, huge crowd. People were comparing it to the size of the WrestleCon Super Show last night, which had an incredible attendance as well. So definitely a situation where Rev Pro really seemed to be the hot ticket in this time slot. It's a shame, because there was some good wrestling on this show, and I do think Dickinson and Haskin worked hard and put on a pretty good match. But it's definitely also a case of a match that suffered from not having a more enthusiastic environment. Next up, Tracy Williams versus Walter. Good match. Did not blow me away. I think this match is kind of, you know, I said early on in these that Walter was a guy I was kind of having my eye on here to see how he did in this setting. I would definitely put this as another positive in the Walter column. It definitely was above Mark's, you know, above average, above the mean wrestling match. Some nasty shots in this, some nasty back and forth. Walter's a guy who can make a body slam look brutal. The head and arm choke variation finish looked great. Williams got in some good stuff too. Nice cross body, near fall, some other things. But when you have in your mind that you're going to see Walter versus Darby Allin, this is not a knock on Tracy Williams, who worked really hard and they had a good match. It's just hard for this to be the match that you get. It's not the match that you have in your mind coming in to the card, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm glad people weren't trying to wrestle injured. I'm glad these guys still worked hard. But it's hard not to view it at least as a minor disappointment, even though it was a pretty good match. Walter and Darby is something they'd kind of built up on the last show, and the dynamic there was going to be fascinating to watch. I think it would have been an interesting challenge for Walter to see how he would have worked against Darby, and for the time being, we're not going to see that. And that's okay. Maybe they'll get to it down the road. A little bit disappointing to not get to it this weekend, but injuries are injuries. We hope Darby Allin gets better, obviously. Next up, Jaka versus Minoru Sawa, as I butcher his name. Obviously, I don't speak Japanese, and I don't. I'm not good with pronunciations as a rule, even in English. If you've listened to me on podcast enough, you probably know that. I thought this was actually a very smart match in the sense that they worked to the crowd, kind of realizing that other things on the show had not been gripping people, maybe to the degree, not getting people quite as enthusiastic as you would ideally like. These guys went out on the floor and just pounded each other right in front of the fans, including my father at one point. Really hard-hitting strikes. Sawa's combinations are extremely fast and extremely violent looking. He's been out for so long, it's almost shocking how little of a beat he's missed. Jaka is a guy that I think does not get enough credit. I think we sometimes underestimate how good he is. He doesn't have the personality, maybe, that Dickinson has. Even that's debatable. But I think he does sort of get lost in that team, if you will, sometimes. But on his own, he's had that great series with Zack Sabre Jr. He's had some other really good matches in Evolve. And I thought this was... It was a really smartly worked match because they went to the crowd and made the crowd care about two guys where maybe some of the people weren't that familiar with either one of them. I don't know. But they really got the crowd into this. Very strong match. Sawa with the win. I believe off an octopus variation, if my memory is correct. I thought this was really good. Up until this point, to my mind, this was pretty easily the best match on the show. Transition straight into the main event from there. Matt Riddle versus Daisuke Sakamoto. I thought this was a great match. I didn't know what to expect to it coming in. I would say it was probably one of the more anticipated matchups on any of the Evolve shows or any of the WWN shows this weekend. But I still was not fully sure what to expect out of this one. Before the match, they did the no rope breaks speech where Riddle basically said now that he's the Evolve champion, there's not going to be rope breaks in Evolve anymore. I should do a quick backtrack. At the end of the Jaka and Sawa match, there was a sort of a big attack moment where the end came out and attacked Jaka, and there was a confrontation with Catch Point. Stokely Hathaway was almost beaten up. Don't want to forget that. But transitioning back to Riddle versus Sakamoto, they really made the most of the no rope break thing here. And going forward, that's going to be an interesting thing to follow with Riddle title defenses because, I've talked some about how a lot of the criticism of Riddle strikes me as people criticizing him for not being the wrestler that they fantasize about, not being the wrestler they want him to be because of his background. This no rope break thing could create a situation where he actually drifts more in that direction. It's hard to tell. I think if people were expecting this to be just sort of a go-go, two guys beat each other up, sort of in the fashion of Riddle and Walter's series from last year, which I did really enjoy, they'd probably be surprised. This was not really what this match was. It did escalate to that. It escalates to some nasty chop exchanges and things like that down the stretch. But a lot of this was more cerebral grappling. Sakamoto was out with no boots on. There was some really smart usage of the ropes and submissions around it. At one point, Riddle was on the defensive. He'd been on the defensive for a while. He came, countered the torture rack into a head scissor arm bar combo, had it in the ropes, and Sakamoto just kneed him off. And Riddle took a sort of wild bump to the floor. I thought this was really just a really well put together match. There was a Riddle up kick that looked bad, didn't connect. It's the one thing in his arsenal I wish he didn't do, or at least didn't do regularly. But it did sort of get me thinking a little bit about Riddle and Walter as a head-to-head comparison, who I would argue are two of the standouts so far this weekend. And it got me thinking they're kind of different in that regard, where Riddle will always add an extra motion that sometimes may not quite work out the way you want. Whereas if you're being honest and you're seriously watching Walter with a critical eye and not just as a fanboy, there are times where he's just waiting around. I mean, there was a moment in the Hot Sauce match where Hot Sauce went to, you know, was on the top rope and Walter was visibly just sort of hanging out waiting to be in the next place. And it's, you know, both are great wrestlers. I had them in my top three for 2017, so it's not really a knock on either guy, but it just, I think, kind of illustrates the different approaches that they have to wrestling. In any event, this Riddle and Sakamoto match was great. So great near falls down the stretch, ended with a wild ref stoppage, ground and pound. I would criticize a little bit, you know, on the one hand, if you're going to do the matchup and Riddle's got the Evolve title, it almost has to be a title match. On the other hand, I actually think the crowd response would have been better had Riddle not had been champion, because I think there would have been more doubt about who would have won. I think with Riddle carrying the title coming in, everybody knows he's not going to lose. So the psychology becomes, how's Riddle going to win, less than how's, you know, is Riddle going to win? You know, but there was some really cool stuff in this match. Sakamoto going for the deep German and Riddle just clinging to his leg for dear life. I mean, just a lot of small things in this actually pretty nuanced match. And, you know, it might be my favorite match so far this weekend. I mean, it's certainly in the discussion. It's another one where I wish there was a stronger crowd. It really deserved to happen in front of a larger audience, to be frank. But it was awfully good. To me, it was one of my favorite matches I've seen so far, and we're four shows in now, and it's definitely one of my favorite matches, probably in the top two or three minimum that I've seen so far this weekend. Riddle still, in my opinion, you know, of the matches I've seen, I know he's wrestled for Progress as well, I believe, but of the matches I've seen, I would consider him 4-for-4 at this point. Walter is, you know, he's 3-for-3. Thatcher's, you know, 4-for-4, I guess technically too, because Thatcher was on the Lit Up show and had a good match with Tony Storm last night. To my mind, those guys have really been the standouts over at WWN, which on the one hand, that's great. They're some of the best wrestlers in the world. I think I had all those guys were in my top 10, maybe even higher last year in 2017. On the other hand, if you were looking for a breakout guy at those WWN shows, we really haven't seen it up until this point. I don't think we've seen anybody emerge as kind of a breakout, unexpected player, which we have seen at times over the last few years with these WrestleMania weekends. So it'll be interesting to see if we have a show-stealing performance, you know, at the big WWN Live Super Show, which, as I record this, is about 40 minutes away, or if we see a big performance even at Style Battle, which I don't expect a lot of people will be watching live. I probably won't even watch that live. But there will be some opportunity maybe for some guys to really, really kill it there. Definitely going to be interesting to track and see if we even get a breakout performer this year from the WWN shows. I don't know if we will. I mean, I guess to the extent that Walter maybe not be somebody that a lot of people are as familiar with in the States, you could argue he is, but I feel like for most of the hardcore fans, he's already that guy. And there, you know, I was thinking DJZ might have an opportunity. Obviously, Sawa's had a great weekend in Sakamoto too, but they're not really breakout guys. You know, they're not, there just hasn't been that emergent star out of these shows at this point. Be interesting to track and see if that does happen or not. In any event, that's Evolve 103. It looks like there's a pretty good possibility I'll be back later to cover the Super Show from WWN and perhaps even Joey Janela's Spring Break. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I will talk to you soon.